Welcome, everybody, back to Of the Steel Guitar. I'm your host, Cole, as always, and today I have a very exciting day on the podcast. I am joined today by Mr. Alex Key, an independent country artist from Wilkesboro, North Carolina. He writes and produces all of his own music, which I find very vital in this industry. Has performed at the Grand Ole Opry, one of the biggest stages, especially for country music, and he's also won the Josie Music Award for Country Artist of the Year in 2022. Mr. Alex, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great today. How are you?
I'm doing extremely well. I know that you just told me, we were talking just a little bit before, that you are actually back on the road. You just got back and you're already on the road for a few different reasons, but it's really cool that you're out and about and just putting that time in.
I get to do a lot of driving, that's for sure.
There's no telling how many miles that thing's got on it by this point.
It's got a few, but it's a fun thing. I enjoy it. I was telling someone this weekend that one of my happy places is behind the wheel of the bus.
That's a good thing, especially you spending a whole bunch of time. So I'm going to start this out here. You're really a rare part in country music today. I know just traditional sound in general, but not only that, I mentioned that you write and you produce your own music, which I find, when I go to listen to anybody on any online music streaming platform, I always see, who's writing their music. And when you pull up every song in your discography, it's got your name as the songwriter credit. So what drives you to maintain that full authenticity through your music and the creative direction that's true to yourself throughout that process?
Well, I don't have to split any money with anybody.
Hey, that's a good...
That's a joke. That's a joke. You can laugh. I'm just joking. But the truth of the matter is I just enjoy writing my own stuff. When I sit down, I've tried to sit down and write with other people and, do the whole writer's round and the writer's room or whatever. And it just feels inauthentic for me. Like having control over my art and saying what I want to say, making the calls and not going back and forth on whether or not it should be like this or like that. And I just enjoy doing it that way. And, I think that's kind of a rare thing in today's world. So I like being able to say that I write my own stuff. I think it is interesting because, like I say, not many people do it. And I've always been a little different. So I think that's just one more little different token, I guess.
Absolutely. And being different in this world is not a bad thing for sure. It's honestly a very good pro, especially in my mind. You mentioned that you've been going to these writer rooms and whatnot at one point in your career. Was looking at, going to a certain record label at one point something that you looked at, and then once you got to like the nitty-gritty details of everything, that it's something that you're like, yeah, I can't reasonably put myself to do this in my own faith and authenticity?
Sure.
Of music.
Yeah, we've had several sit downs with several major labels, and a lot of great people, met a lot of friends along the way, people that, we've stayed in touch with, and have not really said no to any of them. We're all kind of biding time, seeing where things go, seeing if it's something that any of us can make work. But there have been a couple instances where the record label kind of pushed maybe some of their staff writers on me, and, let's see what you guys can knock out in a short amount of time. And it just, being under that kind of pressure, it just felt inauthentic and not how I do things. So when we do decide to work with a major label, whether it's one we've already talked to or not, that will be one of the key elements, is allowing me to maintain my artistic freedom and certain aspects of what I do and what we do that I want to hold on to.
You definitely, in any industry, you don't want to close your doors to any opportunity, but it's also important to stay authentic to yourself, which you can really tell through not only just the lyrical components of your songs, but even your music videos. Your videographer, it's usually all around Wilkes County, North Carolina, it seems like, and it stays true to your own roots. I found that really interesting because way that I always do stuff is I usually listen to, of course, the music usually straight through on a discography. So I usually go from track one to the bottom track, and then I'll go look at the music videos, and some of your music videos honestly look top notch.
I appreciate that very much. We do all our own videos. I think there's only been a couple that we didn't do ourselves, but everything else is all done in-house under AKMG Productions, which is just Alex Key Music Group Productions. We're actually in the process of filming several more right now, and you know, that's back to the artistic freedom, when we could hire somebody to come in and film those for us and spend $10,000 a video. And you know, I may butt heads, I have butted heads with people over differences in vision. And, you know, wrong, right, or indifferent, I'm one of those people that if I have a vision, I won't be happy till I've said my piece and I get my way, I guess. But, you know, I'm a little fickle in setting my ways, and I like to do things a certain way. And so I've come to find the best way to do that is just to, you know, do it yourself. And sometimes that bites me in the rear because I run out of time, and time's limited anyway. You can only do so much, but I find myself wearing many hats, that's for sure.
So one thing that I would find very difficult if I was producing my own music and writing at the same point is just that, producing your own song. So what is the toughest part personally for you? And then what's like the most rewarding moment when it all clicks into just that song where you're like, yeah, I'm going to put that on a record?
You know, it's honestly, when it comes to producing the songs, you know, since we don't really work with any producers or anything, we just produce everything in-house, and we do work with you know, Nashville musicians. And the cool part about that is, you know, we're recording with the guys that have played for Alan Jackson and George Strait and, you know, all these different, you know, legendary acts, and I'm just doing country music. You know, I'm not trying to remake the wheel or anything like that. And these guys kind of, when we all come together and I play them the work tape, everybody just kind of already hears it in their head, because it's not a broken situation. Everybody just kind of knows what direction to go in. And every now and then we'll throw in something and be like, hey, that'd be really cool if we try that there. That'd be different. And so we try to throw a few little different things in there to make it unique. But like I say, doing country music, if you're doing country music right, we use the KISS method, you know, keep it simple, stupid. And that works for us. And so it's been a lot of fun, you know, going back and then listening to it and saying, you know, this feels like we're listening to a 1990s, you know, record cut. So when you hear it all come together and you can sit back and say, that's me, but it sounds like we're listening to, you know, an Alan Jackson cut or a George Strait cut, you know, it's just cool. It's a really good feeling. And I think everybody enjoys the retro aspect as well as just hearing, you know, good country music.
When I started listening to country music, 2000s was around my range, so I was listening to people like Josh Turner and Rodney Atkins, and I still have a love for their music, and I believe their music's a lot closer to what country music should be. When my grandpa introduced me to, you know, the classics, I was in middle school, and I was like, well, I'm never going back. Like, I'll still listen to, you know, Rodney Atkins and Josh Turner, but it's like, you listen to these older guys, and it's just flabbergasting. You're like, yeah, this has actually got a story. There's a narrative in this.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of, and not knocking, you know, modern country, I like a lot of it, to be honest. There's some good stuff that's come out, but, you know, we have dubbed down the storytelling a lot throughout time. And you know, when I listen to a good country song, I like to think a little bit. And, you know, just as a whole, the world seems like it doesn't like to think as much, and it just kind of, people don't want to use their minds. And so you're seeing that in music too. You know, the storytelling is fading away. So I always try and keep a little bit of an element of storytelling in my stuff. I think that's an important part of country music.
Absolutely. 100% agree with that. You mentioned, you know, you like some of the newer stuff that's coming out, but in your mind, is there one particular artist that's currently making music? So obviously we think of George Strait, Alan Jackson. Those are the guys that we think, you know, traditional country music. But is there some current guys out there that you're like, yeah, these people are doing it right? I can hear a narrative in what they're producing and what they're releasing.
Man, there's a few guys and girls, I think, that are doing some good stuff. I think Jake Worthington, you know, I've said for a long time, I think Jake Worthington's doing some really good stuff. He's authentic. Jake's just kind of, I think the thing I like most about Jake is, aside from music, I have to like you as a person in order to, you know, to really get behind your music. I have to feel like you're authentic when I'm listening to your stuff to enjoy it. And, you know, I just feel like Jake's just kind of what he is. I feel like he doesn't overthink it. He just does country music, and sometimes he walks on stage wearing his overalls. I think that's cool. You know, so I really like what he's doing. But there's a, you know, there's a lot of super talented people out there right now. You know, some are getting recognition, some are not, that maybe should be. It's a tough question because, you know, to be completely honest, 90% of what I listen to is George Strait, Alan Jackson, Mark Chestnut, George Jones. That's pretty much what you're going to find in my earphones most of the time. And that's just kind of what I gravitate towards. But Lainey Wilson, I think Lainey's great. Even some of your more like pop country artists like Morgan Wallen and some of those guys, you know, they're very talented artists. It may not be always my first choice of music, but there's a lot of talent out there. And I will say Morgan does, you know, him and Hardy, you know, Michael Hardy, he's a fantastic songwriter. And they've got some good storytelling songs. The music may lean a little more towards the pop, but there's still some good content to pull out there. So, I try to appreciate everything.
I mean, that's a good thing to do because there's a lot of elements that you can learn through multiple different avenues of listening to music. So if you listen just like you said, you listen to mainly old school stuff, which is great, but hearing some of the newer themes that are kind of installed essentially in these newer songs helps out a lot, and especially in the creative process, I'd imagine.
It does, yeah. And I think, you know, you have to a degree, mix in some modern elements. You know, you think about, you know, George Strait and I Can Still Make Cheyenne. You know, he talks about, you know, the leading guy in the story. He turns back and looks at the phone hanging there and gives it one last look. You know, that's not, in today's world, that's not how it works. You know, when we were doing a reel for my song Alive and Well, we struggled to find a payphone. You know, you don't see payphones anymore. So if you're writing a song that's coming out in 25 or 26 and it's, you know, talks about a payphone, then it's going to feel like you're trying to make a classic song versus just making country music. So you have to adapt and, you know, apply certain modern phrases and certain ideology to that same traditional sound in order for it to come off as authentic, as opposed to this guy's just trying to sound like he's doing 90s country.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. So growing up in Wilkes County, right, is there one part of home that really creeps into your music the most? So maybe a sound, you know, maybe it's like the sounds of just, you know, nature, tree, frogs, whatnot, a particular place, or is it more like memories that stand out that really get into your music?
I think it's just, you know, I mean, the whole area that I come from is deeply rooted in bluegrass. You know, we've got one of the biggest bluegrass festivals in the world that takes place in my hometown and stuff. So I was, you know, brought up around bluegrass. It wasn't uncommon to be around Doc Watson. You know, my uncle's been a well-known bluegrass player for many years. And so I've been around most of the bluegrass legends and stuff. So it's a million wonders I didn't turn out playing bluegrass. But, you know, as far as it reflecting in my music, I think it's just back to country living. You know, I live what I sing. I don't, you know, I'm not singing about, you know, trucks and, you know, fields of corn and stuff, but living in a high rise. You know, I genuinely come from the country, and I think that's back to what I said, you know, being authentic, and that being arguably the most important part of modern country. You've got a lot of people that want to be taken seriously in country music, but, you know, they've never touched grass hardly. And so, you know, I think coming from those areas and having those real life experiences is probably more important than anything.
Gotcha, for sure. One thing that I really liked about listening to your discography is hearing the song We Want You Back.
Sure, yeah.
Personally, I'm a huge NASCAR fan. I actually do a podcast of three of my other buddies, and we talk just straight up NASCAR.
Okay.
And seeing that, and of course, the whole thing about North Wilkesboro Speedway is that's a major landmark in Wilkes County and Wilkesboro.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I've actually been to every single race since that track's been opened back up for NASCAR.
Man. Yeah.
So one thing I was kind of curious about is when you were crafting that song, did you ever imagine that you were going to have people like Bobby Labonte and Jeff Hammond become part of that music video when you wrote it, or did that come, you know, afterwards?
That's a mixed answer, I guess. You know, when I first came up with the idea, we had already been involved with the track pretty heavily. We know all those people really well. You know, all the, like, Ronald Queen, who's kind of over the track there locally at a local level. And then a lot of the people, SMI, and Terry Parsons. She's really, I think Terry's probably the reason that track's back open, which that was the late Benny Parsons' wife. She's a real close friend of ours. And, you know, I think she doesn't get the credit that she deserves for that track having actually been opened back, because that was one of her promises to Benny, was that, you know, she was going to get that track back open. And she did. She worked probably harder than anybody. But when we got to be really good friends with Terry, she's also the film commissioner of Wilkes County. And so we started talking about this whole idea about how I could write the song, and we could do the music video, and she would help with, you know, securing permits and all that stuff and whatnot. And she's also, of course, you know, being Terry Parsons, she's very tied in with several big NASCAR drivers, and got to be great friends with all those guys, and just so many, Ryan Newman, a lot of really cool guys I got to meet and hang out with. And, you know, Jeff, he's a personal friend. And so when we started this music video, it just kind of made sense that those guys be in that video, because they were working and running that track back when it was at its prime. So it's really cool to, it wasn't just a video. I mean, we were actually telling stories and listening and stuff while that was being filmed. So that was a really cool experience, and I'm glad that I was able to be a part of that.
And I feel like your singing voice really gives a good narrative to that too, because it's not just about the track itself. When you listen to that, the song, it's multiple aspects, right? It's bring back, you know, the good stuff, you know, what we view as Southerners.
The reason I did that so broad, you know, talking about different aspects and stuff, is just because, you know, whereas we, being, you know, from the area, wanted that track back open, you've got listeners all over the world that may not necessarily, I hate to say it this way, but they may not necessarily care about that, but they can still relate to the song. So I thought it was better to write it in a broad spectrum that people from Canada, you know, could relate to, but also at the same time allow those new listeners, or even existing listeners from across the world, an opportunity to be welcomed into what Wilkes, you know, North Wilkesboro Speedway is. So it made it broader, and it also allowed a different audience to learn about North Wilkesboro and stuff like that. So I thought that was cool, and I'm glad I did it that way.
Yeah, it's really articulate. It's really smart. One of your songs that's called Time Machine, it's probably my favorite in your catalog, personally. And that's
okay.
That's probably just because I grew up with a car that, I mean, it wasn't, you know, a muscle car. It was like a 1999 Toyota Corolla, right? It was nothing special, but that car has a lot of memories. But not everybody has that car, but they have something that they own that carries those memories, right? For some people, it might be a book. For other people, it might be, you know, a record collection. But
absolutely.
It's the same way with that, as you framed it, where, you know, for that car was a time machine for you, where the narrative of the song could touch based upon anything that someone that would own. They'd be like, yeah, that sends me back, right?
Yeah, that's that song was recorded in 2019, I reckon. That's been a minute. And it came out. I've often thought about recutting that song. I recorded that and a few others in 2019, and that was around like the peak of Luke Combs and, you know, some of these other guys. And I went a little more stylistic with what they were doing. And that was right when I was getting started, you know, recording music and stuff. And I was wanting to compete more with the market versus just doing what I truly wanted to do. And so I go back and I listen to those songs, and I love them lyrically. But like musically, I'm like, I wish I had had more pedal steel in that. I wish I'd had more, you know, this and that. So some of those songs, man, especially Time Machine, because a lot of people do really seem to relate to that one. And that was, you know, a true story for me. So I think I may go back and recut some of those songs the way I really want to. So that's something to be looking out for.
I would definitely be looking forward to that. And anytime you can put a little bit extra steel guitar in something, I'm never going to complain.
No, I love the steel guitar.
Yeah, I tell everybody, I said, if there's, you know, a song's lacking it, you can really tell, especially in our country music phase right now. So obviously, like anybody that lives in the South, family's important to you. Your own mom is a vital part of your life, both musically and personally. So what's a moment either in the studio or maybe out on the road that you got to share with your family that really sticks out as being meaningful or memorable to you?
Man, there's so many. When we all went to Nashville and I won the Josie Awards, my whole family was there. My grandma, she used to travel pretty much all the time with us. She'd go to shows and stuff. She broke her ankle and she her mobility got to where it wasn't quite as good. She wasn't going as much and stuff. But that was, I guess, the last faraway trip she went on with us and stuff. So that was a really special experience. You know, and the whole family was there. That was really cool. Just having everybody to get together more than anything. The award aside, you know, we're all very close. But there's been so many special moments. You know, and really, you take the pomp and circumstance of it all away. Because I'm not a pomp and circumstance guy. I think it's the entertainment world is just that. It's the entertainment world, and there will come a time in every entertainer's life where they either walk away from it out of choice or the entertainment industry walks away from them. And the only thing you're left with are the relationships and the people that, you know, you have in your circle. So my theory and ideology on it is, you know, whether you're going to play a show for 20 people or you're going to play a show for 2,000 or you're playing at the Opry or whatever, it's usually the time on the road there and back, just being together. And there's so many special moments we've had that way between the family and myself and just having fun. And so it's really hard to pick out one particular moment. You know, when I played the Opry, I do wish that, you know, of course, my grandma could have seen that. She passed in 23. So there was a moment in the backstage dressing room where we called my grandpa and said, you know, she's here with us, even though, you know, we can't see her. And so that was a special moment. There's a few you can pick out, but when you've had so many special opportunities and moments just in everyday life, it's kind of hard to pick one out.
Well, I definitely put you on the spot, so I apologize about that. I was just kind of curious. I talked about your mother being, you know, important musically to you. So first of all, the whole story based upon she was really the one that introduced you to, you know, traditional country music and the songs that you love today.
Absolutely, yeah. She's a huge George Strait fan, and that I think that got me started on the fiddle and the steel guitar.
How does it work in regards with working with her day in and day out with your music? Because I'm sure, you know, between merchandise and getting everything scheduled, you know, going to different venues and whatnot, that must be tough, especially for, you know, just a small family to really do that week in to week out, where, you know, most people sign talent agencies and whatnot to really organize everything for them. Is there any instance where you're like, I would lose authenticity if I stepped away and did something like that rather than staying with your, you know, your person that really introduced you to country music?
I think the most important thing is back to what we talked about with whoever you decide to partner with. And the harsh reality of it is, in order to grow, in order to reach certain heights in the entertainment world and music world, you're going to have to partner with people. You know, there's certain things that you can't reach as an independent. And I think when that opportunity comes along and it feels right, and everybody is in agreement to certain terms, then you'll know. And I think the most important thing is, I'm not a Taylor Swift fan, but I've always respected the fact that even after Taylor Swift was Taylor Swift, you know, she kept her mom as her primary manager, her personal manager. And, you know, I think that's the ticket. You know, certain people in your life will always watch out for you a lot more than people that are making money off of you. So, you know, mama will keep me out of trouble. She'll keep me straight. The personal affairs, you know, she'll watch out for me there. And if we hire an entertainment manager that she feels is not doing their job, if that time comes along, you know, she'll put them in their place. And it is what we do, just as a very small team, is what most record labels have doing, you know, with 50, 60 people for one artist. So we handle an awful lot. And there will come a time, God willing, you know, if things keep growing, that we will have to continue to build a team. And she won't complain about that, because she wears a lot of hats. And she knows as good as I do that we're gonna need some people coming in and lifting some of the weight, so that we can enjoy the ride a little bit more. Because when you're doing everything yourself, there's very little time to step back and really look at the big picture, look what you've accomplished, because you're always thinking, how can we move ahead? How can we keep this going, the momentum going? And so I think we're welcome to working with other people as long as our current setup and relationship is not messed with, because it's not broke. So, why fix it?
Exactly. That's a great answer. Thank you for that valuable insight. So one other thing I want to touch on before we get to the kind of the conclusion is one of the best platforms I feel like for especially for independent country artists is online now. It's such a growing market. We think of people that's just come out of nowhere from the internet that it's not just started here lately. It starts way back in the years of YouTube, right?
Yeah. Oh,
Someone
yeah.
completely different, but like Justin Bieber, for instance, that's kind of how he got his start. And there's
Absolutely.
all kinds of different. But now we have these viral short platforms like TikTok, YouTube Shorts, Instagram Reels, and whatnot. And I feel like that's been an important part in your process of your growth, right? So,
Definitely.
what's a couple of tips for maybe a newer artist that's trying to get their name out there? So obviously, don't give your like super duper dark secret tips here by any means. We want you to stay relevant, but just some small little nudges, right? You're like Alan Jackson, and someone came up to you and be like, what do I need to do, to really get my name out here in 2025? What would be some suggestions?
Yeah, I think, number one, authenticity and putting out something that you're proud of, because nobody, I don't care how big of a fan they are of you, nobody's going to listen to that music more than you are. Nobody's going to be a harsher critic than you are. And that's what everybody needs to remember. I'm kind of preaching to myself as well. I'm my own worst enemy. I'm often not quite happy enough with what I'm putting out, and I should be, because everybody's telling, oh, this is great, blah, 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 blah. You need to be satisfied with what you're doing and believe in what you're doing. And that's the most important thing. Aside from that, when it comes to marketing yourself, I think brand is very important. I see people all the time that, they dress like a cowboy, but then they sing something that sounds like, folk music. And in those two, the image doesn't go with the audio. So I think the visuals and the audio need to match. And so that comes back to brand. I think your brand needs to be well established. I think brand's probably one of the most important things. That way, someone can look at a picture of you and what kind of music you're going to be doing. But I don't want to be thrown off. That makes me feel weird. If I see a picture of somebody, like when I look at Jelly Roll, I know what Jelly Roll's singing. When I look at, Post Malone wearing a cowboy hat, I've got a pretty good idea what he's singing. When I look at George Strait, Alan Jackson, those guys, I know what they're going to sound like. But there's so many of them out there that's like, they look one way and they sound another, they sound one way and they look another. And so brand's super important, getting the visuals out there. We've never spent a dime on marketing. Everything we've done is completely organic. Just being authentic, not taking yourself too serious. I think some people can take themselves way too serious to the point that they forget. At the end of the day, you're an entertainer, and you're lucky as you can be if you get the opportunity and a break in this world, because there are so many people doing it. And if you get your 15 minutes, you're very fortunate. And do not get a big head, do not be arrogant, because with a world that changes so quickly, it can go away very fast. And I see a lot of young artists that, one hit wonders, they, come around and they think they're God's gift to the music world, and you don't hear from them in 3 years. And that's not uncommon. So I think consistency is important, being humble and authenticity, and not being afraid to put yourself out there. There are a lot of talented people that are afraid to even upload a video of them singing. So, just take all those key elements. Don't take no for an answer. If someone tells you you suck and you don't suck, then tell them to flake all. It's a fun world, but know it for what it is, and don't miss the good parts of life trying to get ahead.
Some valuable insights. Thank you so much for that.
My pleasure.
Alrighty, so I have one last question. I've had a couple of friends on the podcast, and I usually always ask them this question. It's not a really hard question based upon the way it's phrased. And that simple question, you can answer as long or as brief as you want to, is what does country music mean to you?
I think country music means pretty much foundation. I think it means history and lineage. It represents what I think America, used to you used to be the morals. I think country music is very rooted in morals, and by that I mean, you know, true country music. Now we look at country music and it's really starting to sound strange. We've got a lot of people, because country's cool again right now. I mean, you know that. We've got a lot of people coming from other genres that have never, you know, like I said earlier, they've never touched grass, that are wanting to sing country music. You got people that are making, you know, $200 to $500 million a year that think they can relate to the average country person. And, you know, country should mean the same thing to everybody. Country should be sung by country people that still believe in the roots of America. They still have faith in God. They still believe in, you know, being a good person and helping your neighbor and working with your hands and learning things, not being afraid to go out and do things, and just, you know, and our veterans, you know, fighting for the country and things they believe in, standing up for what you believe in. Country has become a facade and basically an umbrella for so many different things now, just because it's selling and making people, you know, a couple bucks here and there. So country to me just means a strong, strong foundation. And people can build on that foundation however they want to. I choose to build on it with, you know, tradition, fiddle, steel, stories. And I love country music. I believe in country music, and I'm highly offended when I see people, you know, making country music that shouldn't be. It's somewhat of a slap in the face to all those that have come before us and have built up such a beautiful genre. And I love all genres. I'm not dissing anybody's genre, but don't try and take country away from the country people. And that seems to be happening in a lot of different ways anytime money gets involved. So country is very important to me, both because it's my lifestyle and it's my living. And I believe in it, and I want to see it kind of do a 180 and continue on the neo-traditional route. Because once you take fiddle and steel out, and you take roots instruments out, and you take the stories out, you take the country person out, you no longer have a country song. You just have probably a pop song, sometimes a rock song, sometimes a rap song. But country needs to go back to being country. Because for those of us like you and me, it's very important, because it is our lives and it is our living. And I think, you know, in short, I think that's what country means.
I agree with that a lot. If there's anything that you want to plug, website, your social media, any events that you got going on, feel free.
Man, yeah. For anybody that, you know, wants to check it out, you know, check out my YouTube and Alex Key. Check out my Instagram, Alex_Key_music. TikTok's the same. Facebook's just Alex Key. Look for the blue check mark. There's a lot of imposters out there, fake accounts. And of course, Spotify and Apple and all those different streaming services. You know, our website's alexkeymusicgroup.com. So feel free to check us out and come to a show and enjoy some good country music.
Absolutely. I always tell people the best way that you can support your artists is obviously buy any of the merchandise that they offer, because that's directly going to them. They don't have to share much with that, especially being independent. Always recommend people just buying CDs, even if it's just that, because that's supporting your artists. And I have way too much big of a CD collection. People have vinyl collections. I have way too many CDs in my car.
There's worse things you could collect, that's for sure.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you, Mr. Key, for joining us. I really appreciate your time, and I hope that you have a wonderful trip, and y'all be safe out there.
Well, I appreciate that very much, Cole, and it's been a pleasure talking with you, and I look forward to talking to you again.
All right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
You got it, man. Take care.
I want to add a little commentary at the end. First of all, I can't thank Karen and Alex enough for allowing me to have their time while they're on the road. That's really cool. I was not expecting that by any means. I will be putting everything that he mentioned in the description of this podcast to go check him out. I highly recommend it. Outdate is a fantastic album from track one to the ending track. I've listened to it completely, and I really enjoy the layering of that track as well. Extremely blessed and very thankful. And hopefully it's like he said, and when we were talking, hopefully it's just the beginning. You know, maybe we'll get the chance to talk to a few more people out there. So thank you so much.